A surprise from China. The country said it bought more goods from around the world than it sold.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. It's called a trade deficit, and China today recorded its first one in almost a year. And at $7.3 billion, it's China's biggest trade deficit in 7 years. Does that mean the country's super fast growth rate is slowing down? Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is with us from Shanghai. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
So the Chinese bought more stuff from outside the country than they sold. That story doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it usually goes the other way around. I mean, China's exports were down considerably last month, and here's something new. This winter, we've seen imports to China rising steadily, and that's proof that Chinese consumers are buying more cars, more gas to fuel those cars, more iPads, more of everything. And that's a good sign for American companies hoping to do more business in China. The flip side of this news for the U.S. is that it's going to be more difficult for politicians in Washington to criticize China for an undervalued currency if China continues to narrow that trade gap with the U.S. But whether or not China will continue to see a trade deficit is still an open question because there's a big caveat. This data was from February, the month of the Lunar New Year.
So, all right, so the holiday is big enough to shift an economic indicator like this?
This one is. The Chinese spent most of February celebrating the New Year, so economists think one of the reasons we didn't see much export activity was because the factories here were empty. Everyone went home, but apparently they had time to shop. But the bottom line is that we'll know a lot more next month when the numbers from March come out.
All right. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz from Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And we'll get the latest U.S. trade figures for February a little later today. No illusions about whether or not there's a trade deficit in this country. The only question is whether it's gotten bigger. Now, there's one place we can see which direction global trade is going, and that's at the airport. What destinations are most popular at the big airline hubs? Greg Lindsay has a new book out called Aerotropolis, and it looks at how cities of the future could be built around airports. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you define this as a city built around an airport. I thought airports were built around cities.
You know, a city around an airport is sort of an extreme case. That's what we're seeing in places like China, India, Dubai, the Middle East, where population growth is leading them to build entire cities from scratch. And, you know, in a truly global economy, if you have to put a city somewhere, you need to connect it to the rest of the world. And so, therefore, it sort of makes sense to them to build a city from scratch around an airport. Here in the United States and Europe, we think that airports are nuisances at best. But, you know, really, airports are our sort of connections to the world. And I think in a truly global economy, we need to do a better job of integrating them into the cities we have and make them into better places to live and work.
This, of course, is all dependent upon oil prices, which have been so volatile and on the increase, by the way, lately. If we're building a future around air travel, how's that going to jibe with the increasingly alarming oil picture that we have?
Air travel doesn't correspond to oil prices. It corresponds to GDP growth. So basically, the wealthier we become, the more we value our time, and that leads to increasing air travel. This is why China and India are posting 20% air travel growth rates, even though they're facing the same high oil prices. But, you know, in the long run, we have to develop liquid biofuels. I think there's no future in which we can sort of just continue to consume fossil fuels at the rate we're going, and you're never going to have an electric 747.
How is this going to shape the future of trade around the world?
You can really use air travel and air routes as a proxy for seeing how the world is connecting to itself. So, for example, the rise of Middle Eastern airlines like Emirates out of Dubai and Qatar Airways out of Doha, they've massively expanded into both China and Africa and sort of created this sort of hub that's become the sort of great crossroads for Chinese and African traders going in both directions. It's sort of a resurrection of the notion of the Silk Road that once bound China to the Roman Empire. So we're seeing sort of the economic geography around the world being reshaped by these new air routes and new airlines.
Greg Lindsay, author of Aerotropolis, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly lower at the moment. German automaker Volkswagen said its profits, though, shot up big time in the last 3 months to about $4.5 billion. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was basically flat, losing just 1 point to end the day at 12,213.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions in the U.S. that can help to guarantee income for life. AllianzUSA.com. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, How Tomorrow Moves. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, The Knowledge Effect.
There are now more billionaires in the world than ever. According to Forbes magazine, the U.S. continues to have the most people with billion-dollar fortunes, yet other countries are catching up, and they're not the countries you'd think. From London, here's the BBC's Rebecca Singer.
With a $74 billion bank account, Mexican telecom tycoon Carlos Slim is the world's richest man for the second year running. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are clinging on to second and third place. But while the number of billionaires in the US continues to grow, American dominance is beginning to slip. Steve Forbes is editor-in-chief of the magazine.
The US share of global billionaires is on a downtrend. So while the US is inching forward, parts of the world are just surging forward.
Countries like China, which has added 46 new billionaires in the last year alone. Indonesia has doubled its billionaire count to 14, with coal and tobacco making people big fortunes. And Russia, where Moscow is now home to more billionaires than any other city in the world. And one last nugget, there are six names on the list, including founder Mark Zuckerberg, who owe most of their fortunes to Facebook. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And finally, the Center for Responsive Politics has figured out how much money newly elected members of Congress have. The wealthiest member is Connecticut freshman Senator Richard Blumenthal, worth an estimated $95 million. On the other end of the spectrum is freshman Representative Joe Walsh. Not the guitarist from the Eagles, the congressman from Illinois. His net worth, negative $317,498. The representative lost his condo in a foreclosure a couple years back. He says he wears that distinction, though, as a badge of honor, that despite the big minus sign next to the big number, life apparently has been good to him so far. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
You put in the time and the hard work, and eventually it pays off. That's how the American dream is supposed to work, isn't it?
We've grown up believing that if we work hard and strive for our dreams, they will come true. And I believed that.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Sometimes things don't go according to plan. That story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.